Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Tom Schreier and John Carson. Guys, normally I'd ask how you're doing, but this week I don't care because I want to jump right in and talk about how Ubisoft has learned the hard way that you need a single-player campaign in a multiplayer-focused game. And I'm... Oh, it's so, so sweet. So, Rainbow Six Siege came out in the last month, and it has been getting some flack because it has... It's all multiplayer. There's no single. Mm-hmm. Well, there are kind of single player modes in it. It deserves a little credit, but like it just has scenarios basically, they're basically like a multiplayer scenario, which is cool. But the issue is there's no real full blown single player feature, and this has been something that people have been getting angrier and angrier about. I think Battlefront was actually the real poster child for no single player campaign. I'm sorry, Battlefront, because.
They had something similar to what Siege had, but when you have a brand like Star Wars and like a ton of stories that are already written for it,
that's not giving Siege nearly enough credit. Siege's scenarios are much more.
All right, you have terrorists hunted.
Well,
and
the different scenarios it's not a horde mode, which is what Battlefield or Battlefront did, especially when they had set such a high standard with their single player modes in some of the older games.
Mm-hmm.
But For Honor, their upcoming third-person hack-and-slash game, which looks really cool. Well, it's not hack-and-slash, but it's a third-person medieval combat game. And its big feature being the right thumbstick determines, like, how you're going to swing your sword, like the angle at which you swing it. And you actually attack and block by looking at where your opponent's weapon position is. So you're, like, fighting around their guard and stuff. It looks really cool. I'm actually really happy to hear. I hope it has, like, a well-developed single-player campaign, because I feel like... that could actually be really epic.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of, like, just storming a castle in this setting. There's some really cool screens of this game. What do you guys think about all this?
I think the only issue is if you kind of half-ass the one player, right? If it's a five-hour campaign or whatever, you can say, hey, we put the campaign in, and that doesn't do anything for everyone. And I think it's the development time, right? They're going to have to set aside time to put together one player in what seems like a relatively complicated multiplayer game.
I mean, yes and no. I feel like once the system was developed, I wouldn't necessarily say that, like, they're adding... I'm sure they're tweaking it and stuff, but I feel like the most part, it's, like, building assets and filling out the maps and bug testing at this point, because they've already had a pretty solid alpha, you know, they've shown pretty solid alpha gameplay already.
Yeah, I mean...
like what we saw at E3 this year?
Yeah, and I think, if I remember it right, it's supposed to cross different eras, right? Like, you're supposed to fight different...
There's, like, samurai and Vikings. Mm-hmm. And...
so that's the question, is, like, how do you incorporate that into a single-player setting? Are you literally
awesomely.
I mean, it can be done really well. I think you have to dedicate a lot of time to that.
Maybe. I think... I'm sure they're going to be, to some extent, recycling some of the multiplayer maps and stuff like that. But what would be cool is if you could, I don't know, maybe, like, lead campaign... Maybe... how about have, like, one single-player campaign... but the maps like with all the same objectives, but the maps change based on which of the factions you choose. And you're, you know, a samurai warrior who's trying to bring to clear out these, like, some invaders or something. And then when you play as the medieval guys, you know, you're clearing out invaders to the medieval empire. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I could see, like, ways that you could cut back on development time and save some money on that. But honestly, I also kind of disagree with you fundamentally about the five-hour campaign not worth it. Like, I think that effort is relevant because people are aware this is a multiplayer-focused game. That's fine. As long as you're clear that it's multiplayer-focused and then you still are taking that step to include the single-player people, I think that is a big, big difference between, like, what Battlefront did, for example, where they were just like, oh, we're just not going to have single-player modes. Yeah. They did let people know, but that didn't take the sting away when they had set a precedent.
Do you need single player for every era that you can play in multiplayer? Or do you think people would be disappointed being like, yeah, we didn't never saw this?
I would
era.
Be okay with like three missions with each faction into a single story.
I would like
something.
Almost like a Risk style map,
yeah,
and then you
like,
just like conquest.
What about sweet.
I'd be fine.
What about Dawn of War style? Like did you play Soulstorm?
No.
The Dawn of War games, they have like, it's like a Risk type map, and you have a hero character. That's an RTS, but mm-hmm. you have a hero character who gets equipment and learns new skills as you move across the map, and then you also unlock new units that you then get to start each battle with as you progress. It's very Risk-like.
That sounds cool.
It's very cool. I wouldn't want to be too Risk-esque, just because I will say one thing that I kind of need in a single-player campaign is an identifiable protagonist. I do not like being a you know, a nameless medieval warrior,
yeah,
that kind of thing. I would like it to be Fred or whatever, you know.
I think the main thing for single player campaigns in a multiplayer focused game is that it sets you up so you're comfortable playing online with people.
Yeah,
like,
yes,
so you learn
teach
the, game.
You the game exactly. Yep. I think this is a game that I'm surprised they ever didn't intend to put right. single player in, just because this seems like a very very steep learning curve.
Yeah, it has a lot of complexities,
like,
to it.
I'm sure that you have, well, even and complexities aside, even just the rock, paper, scissors, sword position mm-hmm. stuff is like you have to have that muscle memory to be able to have a good enough reaction
time. Yeah,
if you
run in online right away, you're going to get just sliced
exactly.
down.
And I could see a lot of people getting turned off from that. So I think it's vital that they do have a single player component. And I'm really happy to see that there's so much fan concern about the single player campaign. Like, yeah. they did say the reason that they're doing it is because there was a ton of pressure from fans asking, like, will there be single player mm-hmm. in this? So I'm pretty excited, and honestly, I'm still pretty excited for this game, too. It looks pretty sweet. It looks like it hits the right notes for me, because it has sort of the arcadiness of, like, something like Chivalry, but also the sort of money behind it, and looks like the quality of something like War of the Roses. Because War of the Roses was like a, you know, a beautiful tech demo that played like garbage, in my opinion. And then, you know, Chivalry is a fantastic game in terms of gameplay, but like, it's a mod.
Yeah.
How do you feel about like having unlocks in single player that would unlock stuff in multiplayer? Do you think that
it's absolutely unacceptable.
So you believe you should separate this, where it's literally a tutorial if you want to use it as a tutorial, or a storyline, and then
if you want to unlock
unless
stuff in
like
single player,
thing.
It should be cosmetic. Yep. Okay. If you want to unlock something in single player, it should only be cosmetic. Like, you know what I think of when I think of games that allow you to unlock stuff? I think of Titanfall, which is like the biggest flop. I know technically it's not single player when you did the campaign, but everyone went through the campaign on each side once so they could unlock all the Titans, then nobody played it anymore, and if you needed to unlock your Titans, you bought the game later, you're just screwed.
Yeah.
And so I think tying anything to single player is not smart because of dwindling population and the longevity of a game.
Yeah, I like the idea, but I think people saw, you know, why it doesn't work, I guess. It was something that, like, on paper probably sounded better than actually how it was executed.
I will say, you know, one thing that I actually kind of liked, I could see there being problems with this, but one thing that I actually kind of enjoyed about, what was the game? Battlefront, actually, was the way that they gave recommendations for your level before you tried types of maps. And I like the idea of possibly gating some of the harder game modes or ranked game modes until you've done single player, kind of a la Hearthstone.
And that's
maybe with less of a 2-hour tutorial.
That's what they did with Splatoon too. Like, you had your single player campaign, and then you, before you could do ranked matches, you had to get to level 10.
Now
for your
that
character.
That I will say, I'm more talking about a very minor barrier to entry, because I am thinking, like, if you've already played the game and you get it, you should be able to opt.
Well,
out.
level 10 is like less than an hour.
Okay,
it's
cool. You would know better than me. So, but I'm just thinking of like, you know what I would do is I would maybe incentivize doing the single player portion first by saying, like, if you complete this before you go to multiplayer, you get an extra, you know, there you can have some extra experience for multiplayer.
Yeah.
Not items can only be unlocked in single player for multiplayer, but like, oh, we'll give you an hour boost because you spent 20 minutes doing the tutorial, something like that. I think that'd be kind of cool. Also, I'd like to see game developers, just speaking of that, I was just thinking about this like last week, is I'd like to see game developers do a little bit more metagaming carrot and stick type stuff. Like, instead of saying, here's a microtransaction to get 10% flat experience for the rest of the hour, like, guide people to be better players with that. Like,
really
do something
idea.
A la, you know, League is having all this trouble with like their ridiculously acidic player base. Imagine if they gave you a 10% like our 10% IP boost for the next game every time you got a commendation from another player.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Grand Theft Auto did with their system, where they put all the like ridiculous people in one pool and then you took all the people who were
No, that's just segregating a hacker pool.
I'm not
talking about the carrot on a stick, not carrot and a stick. I'm not saying punishing people for doing things. I'm saying rewarding people for doing the right thing.
But
there's
that's
a
what
big
they
difference.
Did. They give you money if you like didn't like if you stayed in good standing with other people or whatever. I don't remember the exact system,
I'm pretty sure that the system was if you didn't stay in good standing, it just made you a bounty, and then once you got killed once, it just reset.
I don't know. I remember
it was like if you broke the law in the game and stuff, like it would make you become the game puts a bounty on your head and players can just hunt
you. That was part
of
it.
Shows them on your mini map.
I know if you stayed in good standing for a while, you would randomly get money for doing
so. That's cool. Sure. So I guess something like that. I'm talking about something a little more substantial than money in Grand Theft Auto Online, though.
Sure.
I'm talking about something more like a permanent IP boost, or sorry, a 10% IP boost for a game of League of Legends, which is a much bigger deal because you can use that to buy champions and I think. Can you use IP for any skins? I don't think you can, but you could use it for, and that would be the other thing too, would be how about you get, I don't know, free puzzle piece that's, if you get all 10 puzzle pieces that match, then you get a cosmetic that's worth $10 or whatever, you know, just little stuff like that. I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see developers try and incentivize gamers to be better online.
Right.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
Anyways, that pretty much does it for this story. But, John, I know you were telling me some Activision news.
Yeah, so Activision Blizzard has been working on building up their TV and movie division.
Why ever would they be doing that?
Because it's going to make them money.
Do you? Go ahead, and then I have a question for you
about this. So, obviously, the Warcraft movie is coming out this year. Everybody as I say, obviously, and then question it.
I think so. Let me double check.
I'm pretty sure it's this year. That's one of their biggest franchises. They're capitalizing on that finally. June 10th.
Yep.
That's pretty close. I'm excited for that. But Activision has hired Stacy Scher on their board as a co-president for their TV and movie studio. She's worked on movies like The Hateful Eight, Pulp Fiction, Django, Gattaca. Like, she has a really long list of movies under her belt that are pretty good. So they want to bring franchises like Call of Duty and Skylanders and stuff like that to TV and movies. What do you guys think about them doing that?
I have mixed feelings about this because what I'm hoping is that this is also part of their buying the what was the news last week?
MLG.
MLG. Yep. It would be very interesting if they were going to be trying to make like TV shows type thing out of MLG stuff or like to try and put that on TV.
Putting some really good production value behind that content.
That's what I'd like.
Yep.
What worries me is I was reading an article about this and the stuff that they're talking about is developing an animated Skylanders TV series, and
it would probably
do
super well, though.
Listen to this, though. Creating a robust cinematic universe for Call of Duty.
People love war movies.
Yeah,
and
because if there's one thing I really wanted, it was a universe of war characters. Look, one war movie is allowed to be infinitely long, and it's Band of Brothers, and that's all I got room in my life for. If I'm going to watch a 40-hour thing about, like, military operations, I'm good with Band of Brothers.
But what if it's Call of Duty Zombies, the TV series? Would you watch it?
I mean, I guess, but, I mean, they said robust cinematic universe, which implies that it's going to be, you know,
movies
all over the place. Yeah, exactly. And also, you guys can't just franchise anything. In case you guys haven't noticed, all the successful cinematic universe franchises are like 80s properties and 90s properties. You can't just take Call of Duty that's all people are burned out on it. There's not nostalgia for. Who's going to watch the Call of Duty TV show, really?
I mean, playing a campaign in Call of Duty is basically like watching a movie.
I would argue that even the worst campaign in all of Call of Duty is better than the best, like, video game based movie.
Sure.
I'm trying to think if there's really any good video game based movies at all out there. I know that we've had some okay ones.
Super Mario Brothers. Mortal Kombat. I will defend Mortal Kombat. It is not a great movie, but it is one of the better movies that was based off a video game.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, if I was going to say a Mortal Kombat project, even though technically it's a miniseries, I'd give it to Legacy.
Legacy?
Yeah. Because Mortal Kombat was not well received.
Yeah.
Doom was interesting. I like that first person part of it.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
It's got The Rock.
I know The Rock's in it.
You should watch it.
I know I should.
It's not terrible, actually.
Yeah.
No, Prince of Persia was awful.
Okay. Resident Evil was okay, the first one.
I don't like any of those movies.
It really jumped the shark after that one, though.
I mean, they're so poorly directed, it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, the lighting and the camera. I just can't
say it. I heard Silent Hill was all right.
Okay.
Movie-wise, I don't know.
Anyways, point being,
Pokemon, the Pokemon movies. They're releasing the first three on Blu-ray soon.
Okay,
it's gonna be awesome. I will watch.
I'll forget
the
for a little bit.
Hell
that,
out of
like,
that.
In the first Pokemon movie, everyone dies, and then Pikachu cries, and his tears heal everyone,
even
and bring them back from the dead, including a human.
That's reasonable.
They were just petrified.
That's a real.
It's RPG rules.
That's a real dumb movie. Anyways, though.
Yeah, but we could see more things like Diablo. Would you want a Diablo movie?
No.
No?
I think it could be cool.
Like, I've read some of the books.
No, sure.
And those
write
are,
more
those
books.
Are all right.
I just don't. I don't think that, especially television, is not the place for, in my opinion, is not the place for video games to show the mainstream world that they are, like.
We were talking about this before, though, off air, that if they did something with just, like, redneck Terran truckers and just do, like, a TV series about that, that'd be.
Yeah.
That'd be okay.
It'd be fantastic, but it would be fantastic for those of us who know and expect them to be rednecks and stuff. Like, even someone who's only played StarCraft 2 would be like, why are these Space Marines so stupid?
What's that? What's that really popular, like, gold-digging TV show? I can't think. It's kind of like Ice Road Truckers, but it's for, like,
I don't watch
like
TV.
People who mine gold.
I have no damn. I don't know.
Yeah, but do
is
do
it
that.
Gold Rush or something?
I think it is, actually.
Of course it is.
Something like that.
Something very original that no one could ever come up with off the top of their head.
But just do that in that universe. Like, it doesn't have to touch, like, the Zerg or the Protoss that much.
I just don't see the mainstream appeal
I think
at
it'd
all.
Be dumb and great.
I mean, yeah, just, okay. Dumb and great does not mean good. Dumb and great means
sometimes,
I like.
Sometimes
look,
it is.
Look. I want a lot of people to like a lot of things that I like, but a B-movie style presentation of it is not the answer, I don't think.
So you don't think this would increase the fan base? If anything, not even the people watching the movie, but literally seeing like the trailers in the theaters and just like...
Do you feel like people are suddenly thinking Warcraft is socially acceptable because of the Warcraft trailers?
It's a good question, although if they do
it's a rhetorical question. People are literally mocking that movie in the theaters when the trailer plays. Like, it's embarrassing almost.
Are they?
Yes, I've had to defend that movie multiple times. Like, it's bad. Everything I've heard, it looks so fake. Oh, it's not even real. Like, Warcraft has a story? And, like, all. I mean, it's.
I just hit next on the quest boxes.
Warcraft has an incredible story.
I know.
The lore is so good.
Ophelia.
It's so good.
I suppose
or it was so good.
If a movie is really, really well done, I could see it switching the tide. It's whether or not
whatever they decide to do next has to be a damn fine production.
I just think Diablo can have some sweet fight scenes and like some sweet venues or whatever. I just think of like the cutscenes in the movie. Like
realize that the cutscenes in those games like 4 months of production for like a minute long cutscene, right? Like, that's not even remotely realistic for what you're going to get when you see it on TV.
Damn it.
It's not going to look. There's a reason that even movies don't look as good as Diablo.
Yeah, because like,
there are scenes, heavily CG scenes in movies like The Avengers. I guarantee you the fight in New York took like a week to render at least. Yeah. Like, there's no way. Like, people don't.
And like a year to put together.
Exactly. People don't really fully grasp the amount of effort that goes into like good CG. If you've seen the cutscenes in StarCraft 2, which even if you're not going to play StarCraft 2, look up those cutscenes because they're amazing.
They've been done filming the Warcraft movie for like 2 years.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The rest has been post-production.
Which should be telling, which worries me too, because I think that the biggest misstep of this movie is the amount of CG still being used. They can say all they want, oh, we're doing all these
practical things. It is like 95%.
Yeah, exactly.
There is like no practical
it
stuff.
Doesn't look, well, I heard they were all hyping like, oh, the armor's practical and this and that, and then even that got changed. Yeah. So I don't know. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm extremely skeptical about this, but since I'm not concerned either because Blizzard has infinite money.
Which Activision franchise would you want to see, though, on either a TV show or big screen?
That's such a good question.
I'd have to see a list of all of their properties because they own so much.
There's things like Spyro, Crash Bandicoot.
I would say, Spyro already had a TV show.
Yeah, Tony Hawk.
See, Tony Hawk, they just need to make a good game. I don't think that's a
Tony Hawk already had a TV show. It was that one where they were always like, whammo! And like, beef! And like, oh, what was the name of that show?
What?
It was on Nickelodeon. They had like the fat Hawaiian chef, and all the kids were like skateboarders who were all radical.
Oh, no. Rocket Power? That had nothing to do with Tony Hawk.
They literally meet Tony Hawk in
that show.
He was
in there once, yeah.
It's a show that would not exist if not for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
That's very true.
That is the Tony Hawk.
Many things would not exist without Tony Hawk.
I
would not
exist. Tony Hawk isn't starring in that show because it's for just children need like to act like
such a misstep.
They need to fill those pants that the characters
represent. There's so many better Nickelodeon shows.
Beef! I loved that though. They're like, whoa, wiped out! That show is amazing.
Everything's so stilted with it. Holy crap.
Anyways, though, I'm not super stoked. Are you guys, I don't know, what would you guys like to see?
King's Quest.
I don't know if that would work. I don't think there's even
an episodic video game right now.
I think that the lukewarm Geometry response Wars. To it is kind of telling. I don't think that there's that many people who'd be like, I think even people who were alive in the 80s and played King's Quest would be like, they're making a King's Quest game? Okay.
It's supposed to be really good.
Sure. If I was going to see like any game type thing adapted to like a movie, I would want something like Grim Fandango. I would want
that'd be interesting.
I'd want a proper story-driven game, and it can only be in a movie, in my opinion. I don't think that TV lends itself well to the way that video games play, because the way you play a video game is for 4 hours, not for half an hour, and then wait a week, and then for half an hour, and then wait a week. Well maybe.
I mean, obviously, it's a different format altogether.
But I'm saying the way that the stories are meant to be consumed is different. Like, they're written differently.
But if you make different stories for like that franchise, it can work.
You'd have to focus writers to do justice to some of the greatest. Like, because I'm talking about some really great stories that shouldn't be changed. Like, I'm mad enough at the amount of retconning they've done for the Warcraft movie. It's so bad that it's barely recognizable as the original Warcraft story, which is really upsetting to me. I mean,
it's really meant to garner a bigger audience, though, right? It's almost not targeting their actual fans.
No, the Warcraft movie's sole purpose is not even trying to garner a big audience. Its sole purpose is to prove that video games can be, like, realistic movies, or can be reasonable movies.
But you brought up a good point. There's some people even coming out and saying, why do you have episodic video games when it seems like all you're doing is making us wait to play the whole game?
John and I were talking about this before the show, and we both said neither of us even buys individual episodes.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very fair point. Very few people play video games like me where I play like a whole chunk.
Well, and even
then stop and
even
then
I was joking. You don't play for half an hour. I'm sure like when you do sit down to play,
it's
for like 8 straight hours and then you don't play for 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean that's semi-accurate.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, that's how most people play games. I don't know. Anyways,
I'm looking through a list of like games that Activision has made. They do not own like 80% of this anymore. So it is basically those franchises that we ran down before.
Yeah, and that's my biggest concern too, is that like if they think Call of Duty is ripe ground for
they can make a sweet war movie and they'll get more Call of Duty players.
Call of Duty has no identity.
I feel like you would have to go more on the edge of Black Ops to make it interesting. You might be able to do something like Modern Warfare.
I think they're going to do
one.
Like World at War.
I think it's too over the top.
Yeah.
I mean, a nuke goes off like 10 feet away from you in that game.
Yeah.
That happens.
To be fair, it's
but
like an
but then
away,
you have that
still.
Like super tense sniper scene. And
I know. Modern Warfare 4 had
really
a good
anything
story.
With you in like a ghillie suit in that game is
But
all
that's
right.
Part of the problem, though, is that you guys are like, if you are thinking that the ghillie suit is going to transition well to like the big screen, sitting there sniping is like the most boring thing in a movie compared to running and
I'm
gunning.
Talking about just like them being like surrounded by enemies laying in the grass.
Yeah.
Like that's a cool scene whether it's a film or a video game.
Sure.
Or taking that sniper shot when
like
all that stuff pays off.
Also, I don't know how much credit I want to give that scene in the game either, because I feel like I might have seen something very similar to that in a movie before.
Sure. Sure. I mean, there's inspirations everywhere for that kind
of
stuff.
Of course. My point being, I don't think that's something that only a game can bring to this medium.
Sure.
I want to see a sweet Diablo movie that takes 4 years to make. That's honestly what I want to see.
You realize that four-year production movie
let
would
me tell
be
you
like
about Warcraft.
I'm fine with that. Best 20 minutes of my life.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, so I don't know. I have very mixed feelings about this, but mostly I'm like pessimistic about it. I don't expect much. I don't know about you guys.
I We have one thing that they're doing right now, and that's the Warcraft movie. And that's the only thing that we can base it on currently.
Well, and
so.
Their two and they have rumored projects, oh. Their Skylanders TV show,
oh, yeah.
And their Call of Duty cinematic universe.
The one right. thing I'll say about
but
Skylanders,
we,
though,
we haven't seen anything from it, so we.
I don't
know.
I feel like I don't need to see Call of. Okay, let's just be clear. At best, it would be a generic war movie. I mean, or the Black Ops.
Yeah,
because. It's not like Call of Duty has a unique visual style or
sure.
anything, or it's like
they,
a unique
they don't,
shooter.
They don't need to, like, redo what they did in the games. They can have a completely different
Yeah, but then at that
universe.
Point, why is it even Call of Duty?
Because like, they have the name for it, and they
I
can
know.
Make money on it.
Yeah. I guess.
It's like, oh, there's what's-his-face with his
I'm just saying,
handlebar
Need
mustache.
Need for Speed probably would have been way more successful if it had been, like, just a racing movie not affiliated with the video game.
I don't know. Maybe. Would it?
Maybe not. I'm just saying, I think that a lot of the time adding a video game title like that actually hurts credibility
sure.
more than it helps. But you're right.
It seems
have
like a,
name recognition.
It seems like a cheaper thing for them to do to make more money.
For me, if there's one thing I'm not looking for in a war movie, it's it being part of a series. I can't think of a single war movie I've ever seen like that's like, oh, thank God that was part of a series, at least off the top of my head in this moment.
This doesn't really count as a war movie, but Mission Impossible is
yeah,
a really
that's
good
not
series.
At all. Like that's nothing. That's a spy thriller.
Yeah,
like,
but Call of Duty could be a spy thriller.
Okay, but I like, feel like I'd be betraying what Call of Duty is.
Yeah.
But sure. At that point, you should
like
be
you.
Call
you
of
could
kind of
go off the rails with it.
They should just
Tom
really
Clint,
release
you know,
Black Hawk down
something.
And call Call of Duty.
That's my. That's
yeah,
my
yeah,
point.
Yeah. No,
but that's
that
my
is,
point.
That is definitely not what I want, though.
That's my point, though. What if? Someone is going to make Saving Private Ryan, and then they call it Call of Duty Saving Private Ryan. Like, I feel like that hurts it. Like, a war movie should be standalone, in my
yeah.
opinion. That's kind of, like,
yeah.
part of what makes... Because it should be, like, inspiring and based on, like, an experience and, like, very, like, focused on, like, something specific. Cause, I mean, even Saving Private Ryan, people love that movie and this and that. That dude, like, the actual guy, like, was a really bad person,
yeah.
and they had to edit it all out. In fact, I'm pretty sure he was accused of being a molester, which is, like,
oh, good.
Yeah. So, yeah, they changed his name and everything for the movie. So, yeah.
Private Brian.
Exactly. So, my point being, I don't know, I feel like, you guys get my drift. I
yeah,
just,
like,
I'm not
you,
excited.
You would want to see more, like better produced esports content than
yes,
than
that's
that.
What I really cool. would like them to
documentaries
focus on.
On that kind of
yes.
stuff.
Yes, also I would be super okay. Skylanders does not bother me at all. Any kids cartoon show,
yeah.
I'm 100% behind you because we have seen good. We've seen Sonic the Animated Series in the 90s. We've seen
I guess Sonic
Super Mario
like
Bros.
Sonic
super
Boom
show.
Is actually pretty all right for a cartoon.
Yeah, if you have earplugs in, I watched actually two episodes
sure.
of it this week. And
why?
Because I've been watching Black Nerd Comedy lately. Okay. Andre, the Black Nerd, is real mm-hmm. funny on YouTube, and he does a lot of Sonic-related content. I think he recently had a sponsorship from Sega or something.
Gotcha.
He talks about all of them, and I was like, he was like, oh, the Sonic Boom series is pretty good. So I checked it out, and I was like, ooh. It's pretty good if you really like millennial kind of lazy sort of humor
yeah.
and writing, and also if you're okay with some of the worst character voice acting, like, oh, my God, it's bad. Also, yeah. the new outfits are unforgivable. Sonic's stupid hipster bandana.
He's a hipster bandana?
Sonic has a bandana now.
Ugh.
Knuckles has muscles and like medical tape around his arms.
He should have muscles.
Tails has like goggles. Like they all have new accessories. Like you couldn't
no,
tell
Knuckles
them apart
can climb
before.
Up walls. That,
yeah.
He built up some
oh
muscles.
Yeah. He is like
no.
a bruiser in
okay.
that. Like he skips leg day.
We can
like
we can continue. But you should look up.
Day.
You should look up what Sonic
no,
or what Knuckles looks.
Oh
like.
No,
show me. Show
sorry.
Me.
No, I know what you mean.
I'm talking about for Tom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous. He doesn't look like Knuckles. Okay. I don't care that he punches walls. Also, since when have you needed to be muscular in a video game to be strong.
That's
like,
true.
That's like saying only like the most ripped dude in anime can win a fight.
Is by the way, they should make a Sonic Adventure game again. That was one of my favorites.
That's
we were just
rumored
about
actually.
That recently, yeah, exactly.
It's Sonic's 30th anniversary.
Yeah, they need to do that.
They need to just do any regressive Sonic game instead of trying to progress. They need to just give up on progressing Sonic.
Yeah, this Sonic Boom thing is not good.
Yeah, there. so there's a rumor of them making a new Sonic Adventure game.
Yeah.
Like Sonic Adventure 3.
I like 2.
If
like,
they
I,
do, it should be as much like 2 as possible because 1 is overrated.
I loved 1 when it came out, but I was a stupid
when
child.
When it came out, exactly.
I was a dumb child.
2 had the awesome Chao Garden.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it also had, look,
oh,
I don't,
Chao Gardens were the best.
Also, it had the light and dark side, like the most replayability of like any game ever, plus additional secret endings, like once you play through both sides, plus like supersonic, all the items and upgrades, the RPG mm-hmm. elements, the music.
I love like
running
Knuckles
around at the speed of
no,
sound.
And I actually thought
Escape
Knuckles
from
was
the City,
the best.
Son. I miss those games.
With the pumpkins?
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny that you'd say that. Now, the Halloween, because Knuckles levels not only were haunted with some of the worst 90s style rap I've ever heard.
Oh, I love 90s
but,
rap.
But beautiful on its own right.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Just like beautiful like a train full of innocent people exploding. Like,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, that
whoa,
fireball
whoa.
Was really shiny.
Whoa, whoa.
Not, I guess it's
whoa.
Not sad because it looked cool. No, there's
like
inexcusable how bad. No. It's so bad. I mean, you need to go back and look at it again because your
maybe
memory
when I was a
has,
kid, I thought it was better than it was.
We need a new Big the Cat game.
What the hell?
Get out.
Bring Big
Get
the
out.
Cat back.
Get out.
What the
bring
the
back.
No one has ever liked Big the Cat.
Big,
Get
Big
out.
The Cat was from Sonic Adventure 1. He's the giant
I don't
purple
I
cat
the first one,
who
I didn't have
fish.
Sega.
He's a stupid cat who fishes, and he's the worst.
He's
and
his
no
best
one
friend's
likes
a frog.
Him.
E102 Gamma. Bring that. Bring that dude back.
You're blowing my mind right now.
Seriously, though, I would love something close to Sonic Adventure 2 or even just a 2D Sonic game. Please, guys, just stop trying to innovate
on
Sonic. Yeah,
make a new Sonic Rush. Yeah. Rush was really good.
Or not a new Sonic Rush. Just make a new regular old school like Genesis.
I mean, like,
Sonic.
But
no.
Sonic Rush was like
super.
I don't like 2.5D.
Super Sonic Maker.
That wasn't 2.5D.
Super Sonic Maker.
Model 3D in that?
No.
I just created Game of the Year right now. Sonic Maker. That's all you got to do. Sonic Maker.
That's not really a very good idea.
Sonic you can Maker. Make Sonic levels in Mario Maker. You can be Sonic in Mario Maker.
Oh, is that tight? Oh, I should
also,
maybe get a Wii.
Well, let's be clear. You can't make really Sonic levels in the same way.
No, you can't.
But
people
also,
have made Green Hill Zone.
But also,
though.
I don't think that a Sonic like Sonic levels aren't really quite as much. I mean, there are some really well designed Sonic levels, a la like the what was the. What's the gambling zone from Sonic 2?
Oh,
I know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
It's the one that's got all of the like that one had really good music. And so
casino
did
Casino Zone.
Yeah, Casino Zone, and then also the mechanical
Casino Night.
What's the mechanical zone? I'm trying to think of. It's got the jazz music. It's really really good. It's got the blue balls and stuff, and all the blue water
blue
you have
balls.
To run over. Well, the enemies like shoot blue like bubbles out of their top.
Interesting.
I'm looking it up right now.
Anyways. There were some really well-designed Sonic levels.
Metropolis
but...
Zone?
No.
Sky Chase Zone?
No.
Death Egg Zone?
No. It's the second It's the second
everything.
Act.
Chemical Plant Zone.
Thank you. Chemical Plant
oh,
Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just throw something completely
best,
random out?
Best Sonic song in all of Sonic.
It's really good.
Among games I need to bring back, the Simpsons Grand Theft Auto game needs to come back.
Simpsons
Hit and Run.
Hit and Run, yeah.
That was really good.
That was really good. And then the sequel was by a different company that was terrible.
I didn't even know there was a sequel.
There,
oh, really?
There was one that was like Crazy Taxi, and then there was
yeah,
one that
I actually
was...
Hit and Run was the one that was supposed was based off of Crazy Taxi.
Okay.
It was actually there was a threat of a lawsuit actually at one point because it was too similar, and that's one of the reasons that
no.
That's one of the reasons they can get out of their vehicles and stuff.
So maybe I'm thinking of a different Hit and Run was the Grand Theft Auto one. Or
yes.
Crazy, okay.
No.
What was the Crazy Taxi?
Okay.
What was the Crazy Taxi one?
The one that was too similar to Crazy Taxi and then was changed is Hit and Run.
No, I'm thinking of, I'll come up with it.
Keywords, and then was changed. So if there's one that's literally...
Oh, Hit and Run is the game I'm thinking of,
yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
No, I thought there was another one that was like Crazy Taxi, though. Hit and Run is like Grand Theft Auto. There was like the Simpsons something. Like...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I will look it
right
up.
Now.
Anyways, while you guys are having fun...
Road Rage.
Road Rage, exactly.
I never played that one.
I did like Crazy Taxi. I wish they'd bring that back, too. But that's just me.
Too simple of a premise for me. Like
it was
I'm a simple man.
It was cool in 1999 because I played the crap out of that game and loved The Offspring at the time. So it was just like this perfect thing.
Was it cool in 1999 or were you uncool in 1999?
I really liked learning how to get around the city and knowing where passengers were and
fine,
stuff like that.
Have a really reasonable answer.
No, and actually there's a VR game that's like Crazy Taxi with zombies. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, yeah. It's coming out for PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
That's neat. Hey, speaking of, so this isn't like a huge, this isn't actually technically news, it's just rumor mill stuff, but we talked last week about how the Oculus is launching at $600, and the Vive, the rumor that's been going around is that it is, since it's going to be comparably powerful, it is going to be at least 600, most likely probably another couple hundred.
I would say closer to 1,000.
I would say right around 900. I'm going to guess 999 retail.
They have a more elaborate sensor setup that allows you to move around in a space.
They have two IR or two infrared sensors, and then they also have like a stationary sensor that's like a tower.
Yeah,
and
then, you have to dedicate a room.
And then it also comes with two controllers. Yep. Yeah, you have to dedicate not just a room, but actually, I think there's minimum space requirements to some extent.
Yeah, it has to be like a decently sized space.
Fortunately for me, I don't have a TV, so I can just put it where that would go.
How many people actually have a computer that can run this stuff, like Oculus?
I mean, plenty of people have a computer that can run it, but it's an enthusiast class computer.
Yep.
They were saying, like, when the Oculus was going to be shipping, quote unquote, originally around like $200 to $350, they were saying it should cost you about $1,500 to have a computer and the Oculus that are running comparably. So nowadays you can add $300 to that, so it should be around $1,500 to $1,800 for the complete experience.
$2,500 to
Yes and no. I mean, I think that there's going to be some interesting stuff with the Vive, because I think that doesn't it have more graphics processing in the actual unit than the Oculus?
I don't know.
I had heard that there's a wider field of vision in the Vive.
I think
tighter resolution on the Oculus. Yeah. So I don't know. It's really going to shake down to probably what the how much power the actual headset have on.
Yep.
Or no, what it is doesn't the Vive have like a doesn't it like plug into a separate unit or something? Like not your computer, but like a pack or something.
Possibly. I know the PlayStation VR does, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, and also PlayStation VR, what a joke. It's going to be super cheap though. That's probably going to be the first one everyone gets.
Good entry level.
Yeah.
A lot of people have PS4s.
The only problem is that's going to be competitive or relevant for a year and a half. Too. Well, and like how long until the games outstrip its ability to play
But
them?
Don't they worry about that with the Vive and Oculus that's going to be like an iPhone, where literally, like, within a year, you're going to have to get another one or whatever.
Yeah, because that's hurt the iPhone so badly.
Yeah, but it your phone does a lot more than
that. No, I don't think they expect that at all. That's why it's not a single unit. That's why you're not spending $1,500 on the Oculus Rift. You have a computer that's standalone and upgradable separate to it.
So the person who gets screwed is the guy who gets sick and then has $25,000.
No, the person who gets screwed is the early adopter because you're an early adopter. So literally everyone who's buying it right now is getting screwed. Literally the only person who can have an Oculus right now and did not get screwed are the people who got the free ones for their dev kits.
Yep.
No one else is everyone else is paying out the nose for it. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of stories, though, at the end of the year about people who bought VR this year and then didn't have the equipment to actually support it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Crazy. Anyways, back to confirmed actual news stories. I believe, Tom, you wanted to talk about something here for a minute.
Yeah, we got a little ESPN news, and they are getting into esports big time. They're actually creating a vertical, and to explain that, they literally have part of their site dedicated to esports. And I think the strategy here is, first of all, esports attracts kind of the demographic they want in terms of advertisers, but not necessarily people that like sports, right? These are some video game people who have never, watched their local sports team or something like that. So they're tapping into that, as well as they don't want people to cut the cord because they really make the most money out of any other channel or company that's on cable. So the hope is that someone like Henry, you don't have cable, right?
I don't even own a TV.
Yeah, you'll go get a TV and go get cable to watch esports. And so that you're killing ESPN right now. John Skipper's going to get upset at you. But
sorry, Skippy.
this is personal. But no, I think the question is, can ESPN do this well? Do they have like the, especially because they've cut all these people who were longtime ESPN guys, 300 layoffs last year, cut some of their top talent.
Are they in new stuff?
Well, that's
they got rid of their best thing going, which is Grantland.
Yeah, they got rid of it.
Devastating.
And actually did video games decently well on that website. I think the question
is, wrestling.
Can ESPN do esports well, and are they going to convince, not Henry maybe, but some...
They could convince me with the right talent.
I think the question if they spend enough money to do that.
I think the first thing they have to do is to take it seriously and not question like its place.
Completely agree.
Like on their website, on their channels.
Yeah.
Also, they should make sure their top talent is not talking down about it. Like Colin Coward did.
Well, now he's gone.
I know he's gone. But like,
let's be clear. That wasn't talking down. That was being a flaming asshole.
Yeah.
Like that was.
He does that about a lot of things.
Sure, but that was saying talking down is giving him the benefit of the doubt.
But like,
he was not being condescending. He was literally trolling.
But still, like they need to have their people not. Like, be condescending about it.
They're already not letting them. I mean, he got fired ostensibly for that and some other stuff, right, Tom?
Well, he had a history
of being an ass.
Well, yeah, he got fired. What he got fired for is saying baseball is a simple sport because Dominicans play it, basically saying Dominicans are stupid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But to clarify that, he was on his way out because he got a better deal with Fox, Fox Sports 1 is trying to get big talent, big names. And so ESPN kind of used that as a PR move. He was on his way out anyways.
He just called us nerds in our mom's basements.
But what I'll say, though,
really awful.
Is you look at all these this talent departing, there's not really – the people who are still with ESPN who are big names are company men. And they're going to be – they're not going to – you know, Bill Simmons was always kind of anti-ESPN.
Okay.
So they're not going to ruin the esports side. That's what I'm getting at.
Can I just be real for a second anyways? Like, I don't give – a good goddamn about what talent they're having or losing. To be clear, if there's ever going to be any success in this, they need to hire all esports exclusive people. Nobody gives a shit what John Madden thinks about Heroes of the Storm.
They brought on Slasher.
I'm just clarifying.
I get your point. I'm just saying.
I don't think that I think the people they've fired off just is more money for them to spend on the new talent they should be hiring.
No, I agree. Although they've lost so many subscriptions because literally people, even people who didn't watch ESPN, have cut cable, and that cuts into their losses. So they have less money to deal with. Now we're talking millions, probably billions of dollars. But I understand your point, and you're completely correct. What I'm saying is I don't think the traditional ESPN people, the biggest names there, are going to sabotage what they're doing with esports.
Right.
Because they want the company to succeed.
I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm getting at.
I don't think that it's going to work at all because gamers are way too, like, money savvy. Like, gamers are very, very stingy.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like, we already can get all the best esports literally for free. You can watch the World Championships for free.
But also, it's like they're writing articles about these tournaments and competitions and stuff like that on their website now.
And that's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they have a whole section on their website now.
That article is not going to make me go, oh, I need to buy a TV and a cable box and pay for cable every month.
But you're still going to engage with ESPN, which I understand. What they ultimately want is, yes, go get a TV and go get a cable box. But worst case scenario, at least engage with the content on their website.
That I might check out.
Yeah. And their hope is that they do enough internal advertising that they would get you to do something like that. I don't know if
Forbes could suddenly become like an okay video game journalist site. They're not the worst ever. Are they? I do not like Forbes. I mean, I didn't say I like them.
A lot of it's like weirdly crowdsourced from just
fine, okay? But my point is that they're not like, it doesn't feel like they're posing per se.
They have a dedicated.
No, yeah, my point is that Forbes is not, if you had told me 5 years ago, Forbes has a new video game section, I would literally laugh at you. Now at least I can hear, I was reading Forbes Gaming or whatever and not like laugh you out the room just because you said that. And I'm saying ESPN could do we've seen a turnaround of that level. I could see if ESPN hadn't been so anti-gamer, I think they might have a really good chance at this. But instead, I think they have a chance at this.
I think what you'd have to do is just have first-rate TV, get inside on like who these people are, do documentaries about them. Gamers will torrent it. They will not watch it.
30 for 30. That's fine. That might still draw them towards following.
No, I'm just saying TV exclusive interviews are not going to be enough.
Sure. I think the hardest.
They post a lot of that stuff on their website, though.
Right. And that's absolutely almost everything they do, they put on the website.
Okay. But ESPN's not going to be getting a meaningful like gain in money from ad click throughs. Like ESPN has too much money, I feel like, for that to be irrelevant. Like website traffic
but they may get unique
income.
Advertisers that they wouldn't get otherwise. That's kind of what they're getting at. So you could technically have a company sponsor the esports vertical or whatever. I think that's what they're getting at, which is very important to them. I think in terms of, I just don't know what, you know, it's really hard, for example, to torrent like a twin season, right? It's hard to torrent like 162 games. I'm sure there's a way to
do
it.
I wouldn't know, but
yeah, sure. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if there's an equivalent of that.
There are easy to watch that live. There are easy ways to watch that live. Yeah. Wow, my speech.
And I'm pretty sure. And yeah. If you live in that state, usually it's on local, isn't it?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, most people who have cable are sports fans, right? I don't know if there's an equivalent of like a must watch on that consistent of a basis to make someone go get cable for esports. And I think that's maybe the downfall.
There isn't. Yes, there's just Twitch.
Exactly. And also, YouTube. I feel like. Here's where I'll say something positive about this, which is I think it's really important that third parties get involved in esports as soon as possible, because it's really messed up that Blizzard wants to be the only one who can run like tournaments for some of their games. Yeah. And stuff like that. And they've been, you know, Blizzard bought MLG in part because we've had the companies that are running some of these games refuse to let them run tournaments. Like, for example, every single League of Legends tournament is run by Riot, period. All of them.
Yep.
Which is insane. That's not only does that bring a lot of like how it's run and like some decisions and stuff into question, like it just doesn't feel right. The potential for nepotism is too much, I feel like.
That's
in addition to that, it is hurting the future of the sport because you're not fostering competition. Like, it's this is the only product, you take it or you leave it.
And that's the only reason why, like, ESPN and even, like, local newspapers are succeeding now, is that you can get a ton of content from the teams or whatever, and even Fox Sports North, which is, you know, affiliated with the teams or whatever, partnered with the teams. But it is kind of nice, even if it's just the web-based stuff, to have an independent source, right? That's constant. And they are doing some interesting things. Just looking on the website, they have... they own RotoWire, I think, so they're going to do like stats-based stuff. I don't know if that's of interest cool. to esports
yeah.
people.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, they're I guess
incredibly so. So yeah. Especially if you can do it in real time.
So yes, I think they do need to get people who are just like with any sport, you need to have esports specific people for each game. But I think they can put their best stats people, for example, on esports stats and try to be the vanguard on that.
Maybe. I don't know that crossover would work very well. I mean, it's possible, but I feel like one of the reasons that esports get consistent views and that people have favorite casters partially is because it's the same reason that John Madden was successful. They're ex-players.
Right. Right.
And I don't really give a damn what a Sabermetrics guy has to say about what the numbers shake out to in a Dota 2 game.
But if you have like an ex-player that's taking those numbers and
parsing
applying
it into language, yep. that like, yeah, exactly.
So
maybe if they teamed up like one of the right. classic guys.
No,
but
no,
frankly,
no.
I think it needs to be all new hires if they're going to try and break out like this. And they shouldn't
not,
have
that's,
established
That's what
voice.
It looks like.
I'm
they
not,
do have established
I'm
esports
not,
voices writing for their website now.
Right, but the numbers guys he's referring to I don't think are established
they
esports guys. They're just established sports
No,
guys.
I'm sorry. And I maybe didn't make myself clear. This is the problem baseball has, too. You almost can't put the Sabermetrics guys on the baseball broadcast because you'll lose people. I'm not saying that they'd be on the broadcast. I'm saying they're writing about these stats, I guess, for the website. I guess what I'm saying is they have good stats.
Fair.
Minds, right?
That's so. Interesting. Although I will note, you keep saying writing and writing and writing and writing, and that's another big pitfall. They should not be doing writing. They should be producing video content
no,
if they
and
want to bring in gamers.
And that's what they have here.
Okay.
Like, we are like 7 hours into this thing being
right.
in existence.
Of course. Well, I mean, obviously this is
what we have.
I don't
so
think
far.
It's necessary to disclaim that this is speculation.
No. And for the video side, they're just making it very easy to see like set or like important moments in each game. I'm just looking at the videos they have, like, you know, 30 seconds of a player dominating someone in League of Legends or, you know, a
That's
recap
what YouTube
of
is for.
Yeah, and I think it's them creating that content, though, so they're trying to tap into that, I guess.
Is the main thing that you can't see that content anywhere else? Like, is the coverage of that game unavailable on others? Is that an ESPN-only tournament or something?
I don't know if this is, because they're recapping BlizzCon. I'm assuming that's
Oh,
everywhere,
God,
but,
no. That's yeah. run by Blizzard.
Yeah, yeah. But, my guess is what they're going to do is... And this is just how TV works. They're going to buy rights to certain tournaments or whatever, Ugh. And they're going to say you have to get everything on ESPN.
Yeah.
It's going to be free. It just makes you go to ESPN.
Here's the thing. That's what I hate, because I said the one redeeming factor, basically, of all this is that they're going to break up exactly that. Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose...
I guess I'd rather they had all the rights than the company that makes the game having all the rights, but then still, like, I'd be very afraid we might end up in a situation like college sports where it's like the players aren't seeing money, the company is not seeing a reasonable dividend even, it's all the the people who own the rights to broadcast.
The difference there is I don't think amateurism is a thing in
absolutely
esports.
Amateurism is a thing in esports. Oh, there was a one of the grand finals this year, one of the best players in the world wasn't able to play because he's only 16 years old and was not allowed to travel he couldn't get a sports visa to the U.S.
Because that's amateurism is basically a scam.
Esports is all amateurism. And then you get picked up by a sponsor. That's literally what esports is based entirely in amateurism.
Unless you win like a prize pool.
Well, and it's not like you can go to like esports, you know, what do they call it? Spring training or something. And then it's not like you go to esports tryouts.
Unless you go to Korea and you stay in one of those houses where all they do is play StarCraft all day.
That is an esports team. Any esports team you're on, you are pretty much living in a house with someone, unless it's like a player run team. You're living in a house with the team and you're doing, you know, 12 hours a day esports.
And I don't know enough to say, I guess, to speak on that other than to say someone probably will figure out a way to make money grooming esports people. And that
they already have.
Yeah. And I guess the key is that's not on ESPN, though. I mean, I think don't get me wrong. They should make money because they are the people producing the product. But I think at the end of the day, ESPN is going to make sure like they're not going to groom esports people. They're just going to make sure you see the biggest game.
Which is, to be fair, esports is pretty cutthroat like that, too. If you're not in the top five, you're not on the team.
Yep.
Anyways, that's entirely enough speculation about the new...
So far, what we do know is that they're currently covering League of Legends, Dota 2, and Hearthstone.
Yep.
That's an interesting set of choices. Yep. But
so it might just be the people that they got specialties for, like, those games.
Sure.
So
I know that they've done Hearthstone, at least, in the past, haven't they?
They've done Heroes of the
Storm.
You're
right, they did Heroes.
Heroes of the Dorm.
Anyways.
But, so, yeah, I'm interested to see where that goes. And it's also interesting, hot off the heels of Activision trying to be the ESPN of esports, when ESPN the week later says, hey, we are the ESPN of all sports.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense. Yeah.
No, that's how ESPN is now. They used to be kind of on the forefront. Now they literally are just reacting.
No, but just out
trends.
Of curiosity, what does the E in ESPN stand for?
It used to be Eastern Sports Network.
What is it now?
ESPN doesn't stand for anything. I don't think it's,
I thought
like,
it was
it's
like,
an acronym.
Oh, I thought it was like, I was going to, I assumed it was like Electronic Sports Production Network or something.
No.
Entertainment and Sports Programming Network.
That was pretty close.
Okay, yeah.
It's entertainment. Damn, I was really hoping it was going to be electronic, because then I was going to be like, they literally are already the esports.
I saw someone earlier post like sports. Lowercase e and then uppercase ESPN for their esports.
ESPN.
That's funny.
All right, E squared. It's the new channel for ESPN.
It's like ESPN 2 times 2.
It's like ESPN 2 to the second. Anyways, guys, I really want to move on from this.
Ocho.
That was good.
I wanted to talk for a quick minute about the new Amazon Prime system thing that they've announced. So now pre-orders through Amazon Prime, or for Amazon Prime members, pre-orders of video games as well as the first 2 weeks after release, they're offering 20% off of box titles, physical box copies, not including bundles, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Except John
got save
really,
some money.
Really stink eye about it.
I mean, So Best Buy's been running a thing called Gamers Club Unlocked for a couple of years
now.
Which,
for the record, I've never heard of.
So, and that sucks.
No, it
like,
does.
That
I'm
sucks.
Pointing out, like, I wanted to speak from the perspective of someone who actually occasionally buys games at Best Buy, but I've literally never heard of it.
Yeah, you pay $30, lasts for 2 years, but you get 20. It's the same thing. You get 20% off of any new game that you buy.
Sure. Point being, if you want to get in on this, you should probably go through Best Buy, unless you've been waiting for something to push you over the edge anyways to get Amazon Prime.
Right.
Because there are a lot of good
reasons
to get
there Prime. Are way more benefits to Prime than there are to Gamers Club
what,
Unlocked.
Free shipping, like a bunch of... There's
two-day
like
shipping.
Number of movies for free as well.
Yep.
Also, doesn't that make you eligible for that one-hour delivery thing as well?
Yep, it does.
Like, oh, there's so many awesome things about Amazon. I'm sorry, I don't mean to shill for Amazon Prime.
No.
I don't pay
No, there's a lot of really cool stuff that you get for $100 a year.
But that seems like dang good deal. I'm just saying, I'd rather have Amazon Prime probably than like paying an extra $100 so my console can have internet access.
I think it just works for everyone. Like, no matter if you want to go to a physical retailer or if you want to go to Amazon, you can get that
that great discount.
Sure. And just out of curiosity, does the since you are an employee of Best Buy,
yeah.
What does that discount apply to online purchases as well?
It does.
Okay, just so long, but it has to be a physical copy still?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. It also works on Amiibos and some other Toys to Life things sometimes.
So this is, you know what? I just realized you're not even that good of a poster boy for all those Toys to Life things because you're not paying the full price for them. Like, whatever you say, it's totally worth it.
Be smart about it.
Getting like 30% off or something.
No, it's actually sometimes the Gamers Club. Well, Gamers Club in general for games is better than our discount.
Oh, and it's probably
same with Amiibos.
Interesting.
How expensive is a Wool Yoshi? Because I am
a Wool Yoshi is about $16.
Are they in stock and stuff?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they should be.
I want to get a green one.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Do they come in different colors?
There's green, pink, and blue.
I actually,
And then there's a jumbo one that I think you have to get through like GameStop or Toys R Us. That's like $30.
That might be worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
Might we get that? Sorry, let's move on.
Last story, and I just want to touch on this for a second because it's big enough news, but it doesn't really. I don't think many people are super, super following. But PewDiePie is starting his own YouTube network. He's going to be bringing in like some other unnetworked or. People, as well as some other people from Maker Studios, his previous network that he was a part of, and they're going to be producing like original series, and basically it's just going to be a bunch of YouTube stuff. But he's going to be running their network.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I would love to find out that the first successful YouTuber ran the first actually beneficial like network beyond. Oh, we have a lawyer on staff who will protect you from copy claims.
Networks can be weird,
especially. I would love to find out that like he's taking a smaller percentage and he's like doing because he is in a position that he can to some degree.
So it looks like it's still a collaboration with Maker,
which is really actually quite
a nice little safety net for them.
Well, suddenly I've basically lost. All of the appeal of it, because they're still affiliated with them. It's not even. I mean, what this really is it sounds like maybe it's
like
a
side channel.
Of,
yeah,
yeah. It's just we're gonna try and make it seem like these people are not part of Maker. Which, for those who don't know, Maker is owned by Disney, because Disney owns literally everything. Buy me Disney.
True. Actually, ESPN.
I will work
ESPN
for you
too.
Till the end of time.
They'll buy you for about $4.4 billion.
Oh my God!
Bills.
I would totally take it.
I think the only way this matters is if you really does develop like top end talent where you feel like you can go there and not only get good.
I mean, he's already pulling top end talent from his demographic. Like Markiplier is probably the next best kids yell about stuff and overact a little bit.
Sure.
Like I'd say Markiplier is the next best thing after PewDiePie for young kids like that. So he's already gathering up some high quality ones. Although I'll be honest, I've never heard of most of these because they're not even remotely geared towards me. Cutie Pie Marzia, Jack Skeptic Eye, and Cinnamon Toast Ken, whose name I've heard, but who I am not sure that I actually know who he is.
Is it just one eye that's skeptic, or
it's septic?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is maybe worse.
Septic.
You don't want to have that in your eye.
That sounds real
skeptic
dirty.
Skeptic Eye is a little bit clever. Like,
yeah,
you think,
it's like,
oh,
I'm critical.
Like a stink eye or something,
right.
But.
I'm a skeptical dude.
I mean, if he turns these guys into stars, I feel like people will go just because it's good content. You maybe see them before other people do.
Oh, also, if you're really self-loathing, you can check out his new reality series that's starting this year called Scare PewDiePie. You also
you
can pay $10
him?
For the privilege.
Oh, is that? That's YouTube Red.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And if there's anything that could be less compelling to me than PewDiePie acting scared, well, I haven't seen it yet.
Why would you call it YouTube Red? That's...
I know.
Idea.
We've all
YouTube
heard
After Dark.
Yes, exactly. Very funny.
The hottest website on the internet.
Anyways, that does it for news.
We've got more clicks
for,
than the deep web.
I swear to God. That pretty much does it for news this week, except for one big item that we cannot ignore. Pocket Marty's is now available for download.
Pocket Morty's is ready to download.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Marty's, which is...
To be fair, but yes, I'm sorry.
It's on point.
Yes, especially when you consider the original web series. But...
Yes.
Which I've been binging on lately because I ran out of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
However, John.
Yes.
This is a great way to transition into what we've been playing this week. And I know you haven't played much, but you have played more than anyone else here. So.
Yeah, so I have... I downloaded some Pocket Mortys last night. What it is a Pokemon... ripoff?
No.
It's a Pokemon-like game.
It is a
Rick and Morty Pokemon game where
I don't think it's even fair to give everyone. I think it's kind of funny. I know you're catching them all, so it's Pokemon-like and Pokemon-inspired and all that. It's a parody of Pokemon.
It is.
That's what you're looking for. But I just want to mention really quick, just to be clear, that Pokemon did not invent Japanese RPGs.
No, like, but it that, invented
it's like
this
a slightly,
type of
sort of. It's basically just a slightly more, slightly simplified version of Earthbound with more. Characters.
With more characters.
Yeah. Like it's like a worse version of like one of the original RPG. I don't know. I'm just saying Pokemon's not as original
sure,
as some people say.
But this is definitely
a
Pokemon-ish
parody.
Thing. So Mortys are disappearing through all of the dimensions, and a Rick shows up in our Rick and Morty's universe and wants to try to catch Morty because he's a legendary Morty. Rick steps in and says no, and then they go on this adventure that's like Pokemon. It's fun. I don't know. What do you...
I'm really happy that my favorite reference from the show, which is the Council of...
the Council of Ricks?
Yeah, well, yeah. The Council of Ricks, for those that don't know, is a reference to the Council of... what is his... The Fantastic Four's leader. What's his name?
Oh, Mr. Fantastic.
Yes, it's the... No, well, no, I'm his name.
Reed Richards.
Yeah, the Council of Reeds is a crossover from the Spider-Verse event, I believe it was. Maybe not. I think it was from the one where all the planets were crashing into each other, Convergence or something like that. Anyways, there's a lot of Marvel crossover... Or Marvel and DC crossover events. But anyways, the whole thing was they had like a council of alternate universe Reed Richards who like all of them except
who
for
all
one
know
of
about
them,
each other and,
well they work together to like solve like the multiverse's problems except for our version of Reed Richards the only one who didn't leave his family for science. Anyways, extra nerdiness aside, back to the regular nerdiness.
So I'm gonna read off what some of these Mortys are. I have Morty. I have Scruffy Morty. What's Scruffy Morty's deal here? He is a rock-based Morty. There's rock, paper, and scissors, so you kind of can see the balance
there. Are those
there
like the elements? Or
yeah, that's like their elements. Gotcha. So, and they'll have like rock, paper, or scissor-based moves.
Oh, are they actually themed? That's cute.
Yep. Let's see here. Morty deck.
Excuse me?
Morty deck.
Ah.
That's like a Pokedex.
No, I got you now.
There's mustache Morty.
That's great. It's Morty with a mustache.
Morty with a mustache.
I actually read an article last week that said it does feature every single permutation of Morty
which
featured
is,
in the
which
show.
Which is great.
So
Stray Cat Morty, who thinks that his cat is Rick.
That's great. Although, I'll be honest, there's only one Morty that I really want, and it's the horrifying Cronenberg Morty.
Oh, yeah. He's probably in there. He's
so
great,
bad.
Though.
I want him so bad.
But those are the only ones I've run into. To catch Mortys, you put a brain modifying chip on them, and it still does like the three like lights to see if you're gonna catch it.
That's funny.
It's good.
Amazing. I'm oh my god, I can't wait. So
it's a beautiful marriage of Pokemon and Rick and Morty.
So yeah, the setup is amazing. Next week we'll let you guys know what we think of the chase.
Yep.
But besides that, we've been playing some other stuff this week. I don't think I talked about this last week. I binged all the way through the entire Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah, how was series. That?
It was the best Telltale game I've played. Good. And so just to be clear, I've played the first Walking Dead, I played the A Wolf Among Us, and I played the first episode of the Game of Thrones. Oh, and I've played the first three episodes of Minecraft.
Okay.
Telltale.
Oh, you haven't finished that one up yet?
Did they release the fifth episode even?
I thought it was only four.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No, I was waiting for the fifth episode, honestly, because I was disappointed with the length of the second one. Anyways, I think it's the best Telltale game. Best writing. I think this is... this is weird to say, but the Borderlands universe does not suit a first-person shooter very well. It's really well suited to like a point and click adventure type thing.
And that's cool that they got to explore that. And
yeah, especially because you're not a vault. I mean, you are a vault hunter, but you're not like one of
kind
the
of,
vault.
Yeah.
You're a side character in the universe, basically, which is really cool. Like you're not a superhero with super strength who's a total badass, and like you're like a dude who works for Hyperion and a scam artist, and you team up to pull off a heist, and it's really cool. Like I had a blast with it. My roommate actually came out and asked me to stop laughing so loud because he was trying to sleep, which I don't laugh at game jokes very much at all. I'd say I probably even laughed more at this than Undertale, which it's hilarious. It's a great game. If you like point and click adventures, you like Telltale games, you like Borderlands, any of those three, it's worth it. It is. And all the episodes are out now.
You can download the first episode for free on most things.
Yeah, exactly. Including, I think, iPhone and stuff.
Yep.
Although I will say one thing. The ending is not amazing. It's not disappointing, but it is it's a cliffhanger.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's actually exciting for me, too, because there will likely be a sequel.
Yep.
There's got to be. I hope that it sold well enough because it really is a great overlooked gem last year.
Like, it was critically well received.
Yeah, sure, so. But it wasn't a tabletop name, that's all.
Right. A lot of people know Borderlands, though.
Yeah, so. Borderlands, but a lot of people had no idea that there was a Borderlands point-and-click game.
Yeah.
Anyways, or they haven't heard about it since E3 and didn't know it was coming out and stuff.
That's true.
Anyways, though. What else have we been playing? What have you guys been playing?
Diablo.
The Diabs. It says Diabs 2.4.
Diabs. No,
yeah, you big liar. You ain't played 2.4.
No, I haven't played 2.4. I juked you guys. 3. But yeah, no, I was pissed that I played it like 2 days before this thing launched because it actually
I have
sweet.
No sympathy. Do you remember what happened to me last time I played through Diablo?
Oh, you binged on it for like a week and then 2.3 came out.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't binge on it for a week. I maxed out 3 classes.
Yeah, that's enough to kind of.
You got
to
play like me. You'll
turn
never,
you off.
Oh, actually, I went back about a month later and played I played a new. What was it? I played a new Witch Doctor all the way to max level, and God, the Witch Doctor is good.
They're fun.
Is the witch? So I like the wizard. That was the first character I played as. I
think Witch Doctor, you literally just cast a bunch of AoEs around you and then walk.
I think
you don't
I think
even
that's
what click on guys.
Because the Crusader was kind of like, eh.
The Crusader is my favorite class.
Oh, really?
I just throw like revolving hammers around myself, just like I hammered I did in Diablo 2.
I've only played a little bit, so I probably should play
it. It grows.
Fair,
it grows really well.
Well, and to be fair, probably the reason that I like the Crusader so much is because like the Hammerdin was like my favorite build in Diablo 2. So there's like a lot of nostalgia there as well.
Which doctor's the best? Like, what other ones should I play?
They're all good.
Basically, I would say everything except for the Demon Hunter.
Just melting people with the Demon Hunter, though.
You can melt people with anyone.
I know, but like if you like ranged classes and like a machine gun, like dual wielding.
See, I would
machine
like
gun
just,
crossbows.
It's
sweet.
Look, the Demon Hunter does not fit in Diablo. I don't get why he was even added. I don't like the Demon Hunter at all. I don't think his. I don't think that
should have put that Amazon back in.
Exactly, and I don't think that his resource management is well designed at all. It's not like one consistently fills up the other. You're always waiting on a meter as that class. I loathe the Demon Hunter. I've tried to. That's the only class that
Demon Hunter.
That's the only class that I can't get into, like at all. Although on console, maybe I could because it plays like a twin. Well, because it plays like a twin stick shooter.
Yep.
So
yeah, which would be fun. I do want to get back into this game. I think we should. Do you want to tell people briefly what 2.4 brings?
Sure.
Like it's a whole new area, right?
2.4 adds a whole new zone, a new forest for you to explore behind the zone they added in 2.3, as well as a bunch of new armor and stuff. I think it's like over 240 new unique buffs or whatever. You know, the legendary effects.
Effects, yeah.
They retooled a bunch of the class armors, the class set armors, which are 6 pieces that are only wearable by each given class. And I think there's 3 of those class sets for each class.
And what they've added with those are actual dungeons that correspond with those.
Yes. What it is it's a dungeon portal that can only be summoned, or a Nephilim portal type thing that can only be summoned when you are wearing the full set. And supposedly it's like they're like challenge dungeons that are geared specifically towards the skills and bonuses you get from it. Yes. However, it looks real good. They're also changing from now on, seasons will be exactly 3 months long instead of just being a random amount of time. From playing through a season all the way, there's a bunch of new rewards. You can get portraits, new banners to wear, new heraldries and banners. You can get little mini pets like they added a while ago. And also you can get new wings, which I love.
I like
love
wings.
The different kinds of wings. And last but not least, if you play all the way through a given season during the season's time frame, as I think it's just if you complete all the way through Act 5, you get the one of the three complete class sets. And it's not random. It rotates with each season.
Right. Isn't the first one like Witch Doctor or something?
No, I don't think it's like that.
Or
I
Monk?
Think, no. I think no? all classes get one of their three full sets,
gotcha.
And which of the three sets they get rotates
gotcha,
each season.
Gotcha.
I think it'd be kind of garbage if only
it's
one
like,
class
oh, I just
got a set.
Went through with my barbarian and got this Witch Doctor set.
Exactly. Oh, also they added in a feature that I don't know who it's for, that you can take a non-seasonal character
mm-hmm.
and instantly make him a seasonal character, but it reduces his level and all of his skills and everything to one and automatically mails literally all of his equipment to a character who's
not seasonal. That doesn't make sense.
I don't understand the point at all. The best thing that, or the only real effect that has is you lose a max level character.
Yeah.
Like, you could just make a new character in the exact same amount
right.
of time and not have to deal with
it's
all
not like
gear.
You can customize what those guys look like.
Oh, and you unlearn all the recipes. Like, there's no reason
yeah,
to
just start
it's
too
the
fresh.
Dumbest feature. When I heard it, I was like, who is
it's
this?
Like,
am
isn't
I
that
missing
just like
something?
Starting a new character?
Yeah, I don't know what the. I think what they said was if you want to get in the action faster than anyone else,
unless,
like,
unless
there
really
doesn't seem to be a reason.
Unless there's like a prestige sort of thing where
they
it's like,
didn't say
I've taken this character through four seasons. Like, that would be the only thing I could think of, but there's no tangible benefit to it.
Maybe it's that some people only play seasonally, but...
Sure, but...
Oh, also they phased
but
there's
out... there's no customization
well,
at all.
Well, they like, also phased out something that I really strongly favor. There is no longer season... in-season only legendaries. There are no legendaries unique to the
oh, they
season
got rid of
mode.
That?
Season only mode. Yeah, oh. they phased it out. It's a bogus. It's the only reason I even played the seasons last time, and I've...
See?
Yeah, I felt like I wasn't getting the full
See?
Experience. Yeah.
That's a reason to play.
No,
like, now you
don't
want
to play in
season.
I want to be able to have my level 70 with 350 Paragon points that I've been playing since release to be my best character who collects everything, not the character I re-roll every 3 months. It's idiotic. I hate the idea of season-specific legendaries. It's like punishes you for playing the game for a long period of time. Ugh,
I mean...
Forcing people to re-roll in a game that's built on basically having infinite replayability by having infinitely scaling difficulty, well, to
right.
a reasonable degree, it does not make sense.
So
to doing
why would you go to why would you go to seasons now? You
because
personally
because you get because you get free sets,
which is
because I've played all
can,
the way.
Can you get that
I don't
normal?
Yeah,
play.
Okay. Yeah, you can. I think I have about probably 500 hours ish logged in Diablo 3, yeah. and I have not gotten a single set. For any, I have every class maxed leveled.
Yep.
And I have not gotten a single set of armor.
Is this not the same thing then?
That
you would get a full set of armor that you can't get while you're playing the regular game?
No, you can get it while you're playing the regular game.
But you haven't.
I haven't because I'm not the kind of person who wants to play Torment 10. Is that like, should I feel, you didn't like catch me or something.
No,
you're
I'm
like
just,
you just like
no, I'm just asking
my
like,
words. Like, no, that's exactly what I said before.
But it's that incentive to play that mode.
Yeah. Okay. Don't incentivize me by punishing me.
Okay.
Incentivize me by cosmetics is a great way to incentivize it. Like that's much, much better is like, well, you can get custom special wings,
but
you
they
can get
put
a special
the,
pet
after the season though, they put those items into the regular game.
There's a reason that they phased this out. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not the minority in
sure.
my opinion here. You're in the minority, which is fine.
I'm just asking you questions.
Yeah, I know, but you're kind of
I'm just asking you questions.
Yeah,
you're,
but you're firing them
you're,
off at me like super
he's
fast.
Interrogation.
Yeah, it feels like I'm being interrogated.
You are.
Here.
Do the
you got the bright
look.
I don't feel like
do
I should
thing.
Have to justify this.
I told him I wouldn't.
I don't
I
feel
won't.
Like I should have to justify this.
Justify oh, it.
I think
you justify
made
yourself.
Oh, my
I like Diablo and I like to play it a lot and I'm glad 2.4
came
peaking? Out.
I'm going to be checking out 2.4 probably next week or the week after if whenever I get some time. I've been playing some other stuff this week too, you guys. I played all the way through Saints Row 4 for the third time.
Shoot.
That is. Do you like 3 or 4 better?
Oh, that's not a fair question.
3.
I like them differently. I think 4 is the best superhero game ever made when
sure.
you take off your nostalgia glasses for Spider-Man 2. And I think that 3 is...
Spider-Man 2 is still better.
wonderful. No, it's not. Realistic to say. Or it's unrealistic to
say. I haven't played Hulk Ultimate Destruction, but I hear that's a pretty big contender for that.
Look, you're talking about games that are A, heavily nostalgic, and B, lean on massive franchises. Let's talk about the Saints Row is an original property.
The only issue I had with 4 is there's no reason to get in a car, and I like that about 3.
There's a reason to get in certain cars.
I suppose, but it's like, if you can jump around and cruise around with superpowers, are you going to do that, or are you going to sit in a car?
Are you saying you're annoyed that they allowed you to still collect and modify cars, even though you might not need them?
No, absolutely not. I'm just saying I liked how 3 played because you had to get in a car, and it felt like a Grand Theft Auto game. I guess that's where I'm going with that.
But if that's 4, that wasn't their goal, I guess, in 4.
I think you're fundamentally wrong, but here's what I'll say about it. 4 would have been improved if it had been if the vehicles had been balanced more similar to Crackdown, where you can jump and you're a superhero and everything.
If I had a car that could fly,
well, you do. They're the flying vehicles.
That VTOL. No, but like an actual car that could fly.
Fair. I like 4. It's fun.
The 4 was great. I had a lot of fun with 4. Actually, I actually preferred the mechanics of Get Out of Hell to 4. You like the
flight stuff.
Yeah, the flight was way better. In 4, you don't fly, you glide.
You glide, yeah.
In Get Out of Hell, you have like a set number of times you can like pump your wings, and that like speeds you up drastically. But also, you can gain speed by controlling height, and like you can actually gain speed without pumping your wings by properly going up and down.
Doing the Mario cape.
Yes, exactly. Except with slightly better physics, maybe. That Mario cape is so exploitable.
Mario cape is perfect.
Yeah.
Mario World is perfect.
Perfectly broken.
Perfect, Henry. I'm not going to defend
that.
Can
they make another Saints
Row? Hey, I loved it. Don't get
me
wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Can they make another Saints Row, or is it gone with THQ?
They can.
That's, yeah, what?
Are they making another one? Because they should do that.
It's Deep Silver.
It's Deep Silver now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And 4 was Deep Silver.
Because Get Out of Hell came out after the THQ went under.
Okay. Didn't 4 come out after the THQ went under? I think it did.
I feel like it said THQ.
Yeah. Pretty sure it was that same year.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure 4 came out after THQ was sold. So there went one out.
They should. But
they will.
Where they leave that off.
It's so funny. Actually,
there is potential for... There's
potential for time travel.
Not only that, but if anyone can top superpowers, it's Saints Row. I really think so. I think if anyone can keep on upping the ante past Saints Row 4, it is.
It's going to be like a Civilization game.
This is going to be so dumb. Around.
Also, as a side note, I just want to make sure everyone knows that when I play this game, like one of the reasons I like it is because it's a turn off your brain and just kind of run around. Like I'll often catch myself literally spending half an hour aimlessly flying in circles. And I'm like watching YouTube on my other monitor.
Just rocket punching people.
No, but only because you don't get that till like the last hour of the game, unfortunately. Also, just a quick side note.
You don't just like run up at people at full speed and then punch them?
Oh.
That is fun.
That's what I meant.
No, because you can't, because it triggers like a wrestling animation.
Oh, that's even better. You just like...
Yeah, well,
you
I actually
bulldog
liked,
them
I actually
or
liked the animations better in
them.
3, because in 4, they start doing like superhero-style moves, and in 3, it was all wrestling.
Yeah.
However, you can still get the 3 animations before you get your superpowers in 4. One thing I do want to note, though, and this drives me nuts every time I play through the game, and anyone who's a big fan of this game will know this, and anyone who isn't won't, but at the end of the game, there's some missions set up with Kinsey where... Clearly, it was supposed to be in the tutorial of the game because they introduced the dubstep gun, and your character is like, "What's this thing? Shoot music?" And you've had the dubstep gun for like 30 hours at that point. And there's like 2 or 3 things in the script of that mission that clearly imply I believe you even unlock it twice.
Yeah.
Like you unlock it at the beginning of the game, and then when you finish that mission, you get the dubstep gun unlocked, which is. Ridiculous.
That game's development was weird, though, because it was originally DLC for 3.
I know, and now I have that DLC for free. It's called Enter the Dominatrix, and it's DLC for 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not quite as good as Saints Row, but it is cool, Saints Row 4 itself. But also, How the Saints Saved Christmas is pretty hilarious and good DLC, too. It's very much inspired by the Futurama Santa Claus. What were you saying?
I completely forgot.
All right,
because he's checking sports scores on his phone.
He's actually looking at our Google
Honestly,
Doc.
Wild and Wolves are not playing tonight, so I'm not
Thank
looking
God.
At scores.
I've played. So, some of my friends have been getting into old MMOs.
Oh no!
So
how old?
EverQuest 2.
Oh, God.
So I veered in a different direction. I'm like, I kind of want to play more SWTOR.
So okay, yeah.
Yeah, because Tom's been playing Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
I can't get Knights of the Old Republic to launch on my computer. I haven't really tried that hard, but
yeah.
I decided, like, hey,
just get it for iPhone.
The Old Republic is free, right? It's free to play, so I'm just going to jump in. I never really got that far in
sure.
it.
Sure. How far is not that far?
End of the first world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, not far at all. Yeah. So I jump back in. I am not far still. I only played for a couple of hours.
What are you playing?
I am playing a Sith Inquisitor? Is that what it is?
Sorry, that was the sound of me slapping my face in mock outrage or in mock surprise. That's what I'm playing too.
The oh, is it?
Commonly played
okay.
class in the entire game.
Well, so
like, is that the Darth Maul
like,
thing?
Yes, by kind like of. A large margin. Yes, it is. It's the dual wielding Sith. It's literally the Darth Maul thing.
It's either that or you could be the Sith sorcerer.
Yeah, if you're an idiot.
So, I am an idiot, but I'm
you
I'm
idiot.
No, I'm going for the assassin.
Yeah, you are.
Once the EverQuest 2 thing kind of stopped with one of my friends, everyone started coming over to the Old Republic with me. So now we have a whole guild.
Yeah, I'll join the dark side.
We all did join the dark side, but everyone also had characters. This was the only character that someone didn't have yet, too, for our group.
Hey, man, whatever you got to tell yourself.
Hey, so we're going to be playing that in the next couple of months.
You were playing before they joined you.
Like a day before.
Well, but didn't that mean you made your class first?
I wasn't on the right server.
Oh, yeah. Likely story.
Yeah. Everyone.
It all shifts and changes when the facts come out.
Yep. Actually, that's what I made at first, though. So
yeah, that's because, listen, that's what everybody
whatever.
Made. I'm joking when I throw shade at you anyways, because it's like 60%, I think, of the classes in that game are Sith Inquisitors.
Yep.
Like, it's hilarious, the statistics.
And I hear the storyline's really good for them, too. So, but we'll be playing that. I'm going to try to play some Phantasy Star Online soon.
The original?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I guess 1 and 2.
Yeah, because weren't there, wasn't, oh, were they combined?
Yeah.
What was the one that was for the original Xbox?
That was 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love that game.
So that's going to be going down some point soon. I think next month it's going to be DC Universe Online, because we all hate each other and ourselves.
DC Universe Online is not that bad.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's a better version of City of Heroes.
They're adding content to it.
Are they?
Yeah, they're adding Legends of Tomorrow stuff to it.
I'm not crazy. DC Universe. Yeah, no, I've played that one.
Yeah.
That's the one that, like, the when you start out, like, Gorilla Grodd is doing this or that. And you're like, well, my guy can fly because
very,
he would jump really
very
high.
Very action focused.
Yes. And they have, I love their limitations on your power choices because it's such a binary, like, oh, do I want to be able to jump or fly?
Or fly. Or, or run fast.
That actually was kind of, I was a little torn on the run fast until I found out that you fly as fast as the run fast anyway, so it's irrelevant.
Yeah, you get your movement down anyways.
Can't you like run up buildings though with super speed or something?
Yeah. And if you're like acrobatic, you can
those
just climb up
those games were
them,
not that
like
bad. They're just like WoW era, you know. MMOs.
I'd like to see what it is now. Especially when they're
I guess
putting
I haven't
out new
played
content.
It in a year
it's,
and a half
it's
either,
coming to
so.
Xbox One next
oh,
month.
Weird.
So
that's weird.
And they're merging the PS4 and PC servers, which is kind of neat.
I got to play it again just so I can PvP.
Yes. So yeah, we're kind of in this old MMO kick right now. They'll probably die out pretty soon.
That's fun.
Yeah.
There's an article online about how some MMOs like finished up, like Galaxies. They actually
oh, yeah.
let people know.
Yep.
And I guess the Matrix, they just zapped everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They do some fun stuff when they close MMOs. Though.
Yeah. And often they will, like with MMOs in particular, they sometimes will open source code or something like that so that people can create their own servers to continue it. I think a great non-MMO example of that would be that you guys know I've still been playing more Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that game got, when the GameSpy servers got shut down by EA, the creator came out and was like, yeah, no, we specifically worked with Game Ranger so that you could continue to host your own online
servers.
That's
awesome.
Like, so literally the day the servers went down, he was like, no, there's an alternative. We already set it up because screw EA.
Like, wasn't the Saboteur or whatever the one people got mad about?
I don't know. That game is soups good.
Well, no, I think it's because they had like a nudity thing, and when the
servers
went down, they couldn't
get
it. Because Max bought that game, you can ask him about it next show.
That game is I would just like to say that is an underrated gem in my opinion. The art direction in that game, like the fact that
and Mercenaries,
They're kind of in the same era.
Am I mistaken? Is the Saboteur not the World War II spy?
Yeah.
Okay, they're nothing like each other for sure. One I think also of them, is I think all of them black and white except for like until you capture an area, everything's black and white except for the Nazi imagery and stuff. Oh, and the explosions. Like they did some really cool stuff with colors and art design in that game. And the story's pretty good. It's not a bad game. Oh, and the driving mechanics aren't bad either. Like that game should have gotten more fanfare. Like that was a game that I should not have discovered at Half Price Books.
Huh. Really? That's how it happened?
That's how I first found out about Max the game. Literally, I was just browsing their half off section.
You'll have
I
to
guess
ask
the entire store.
That's Matt's about it.
I'll never forget when I first moved to the Twin Cities. I went to a Half Price Books and I asked one of the cashiers the price of the book.
Off?
And they no, I didn't ask that. Half Price Books sounds like it's just a name, like it's an idea. When I go to the dollar store, not everything is a dollar. That's not real. So I went to Half Price Books and I asked how much it was, and the person literally laughed at me, then stopped laughing and stared at me like I was an idiot, and then just went, "They're half off sticker price, sir." It was very upsetting and embarrassing for me.
ask Max about the Saboteur, because I don't know if he plays it, because he literally bought it just for the nudity. And then realized he didn't get it.
He would.
We'll have to, next week, bring it up.
Yeah,
he can, Google something and just see boobs online.
Or you can, I'm sure, literally go into the game's files and delete a texture and work. Like,
That is more work than...
Or you could, not be excited about video game breasts.
Yeah.
For the record, I got, the complete version or whatever that had that, and I turned it off. I turned the nudity off, because it's stupid unnecessary. Well, it's also, gratuitous. It's like, I'm trying to pay attention to a really cool story about the French Resistance.
Makes
I don't
better.
Care about the line dancers on stage.
Yeah.
Plus, it's like 1950s. It's not like it's a proper strip club. It's like a,
it's first class.
I'm just saying. All right. So, what else you guys been playing? Because I really, besides that, I've just been on my phone for the most part.
Fallout 4. And
that game?
It's a fun game.
Still playing that? Are you still playing that, John?
I haven't touched it since November.
Wow.
That's brutal. You guys both haven't
played it? That's got to be deliberate, right? I mean, you're waiting to play it, right? You didn't you're not done with it, are you?
I'll go back at some point. Like, I'm more excited about what's coming out in the next month than I am about going and playing more Fallout 4.
I don't know why.
What is coming out in the next month? I know there's something big at the end of the month here.
There's The Witness. There's...
Which one is The Witness?
That's Jonathan Blow's new game.
Oh, God.
The guy who made Braid. Next week is Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. Yeah. There's that Digimon game that y'all should be...
Do you have
hype
okay?
About.
I know there's an actually big release that's
XCOM
at the end of this
2.
Month. There's a big one. Thank you. You and your damn Nintendo stuff.
So seriously, you guys got sick of Fallout 4? Because
I still like it as much
as I did.
You haven't played it a quarter as much as either of us probably still.
That's probably true.
You've probably played it more than I have.
I've beaten the game almost twice. Ask me. You keep asking me, are you really done? This isn't the first time you've asked me, are you really done with it? It's like, yeah, dog, I got 200 hours on that game.
Yeah, okay. Well, fair enough. I must be playing in a super weird way, because I still cannot find a third power armor, and I really want a third power armor.
The fact that you're looking means you're playing it the wrong way.
No, I'm not looking for it. I'm literally, I'm done factions, so I did, the Brother to Steel. I'm doing the Railroad
Wait
now.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
They literally give you a set of power armor.
Does the Railroad one?
No, the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah, so I have that one, but I don't want to change that one to, I like that one as it is. I want one that I can change.
Okay, Tom, I already explained this to you. You don't even have to look for it. All you have to do is sneak up on someone wearing power armor, pickpocket the power cell, and they'll climb out of the armor and you can take it. I told you this two weeks ago.
I'm such a bad sneaker, though. That's the issue.
Okay.
I do not sneak.
You know what?
I'm not stealthy.
Then just wait till you inevitably... You know how many... On my second character who's not even beaten the game, do you know how many suits of power armor I have? 30.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I have an entire floor of my house dedicated to power armor.
Can you find them? Are you just sitting around?
Yes, and people wear them too. They're everywhere,
but I can't
dude.
Sneak.
And I also literally gave you a look. Go to the National Guard Armory. Okay.
Oh,
enough talking about power armor.
Power armor done. But I do like that game still. It's super fun. I like the story. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. That's probably what I play
also,
the most, honestly.
Have you gotten to the twist yet?
No, because I need the power armor so I can go through
then
the
you
sea.
Can't say that you like the story because you're like... Five minutes. You've done like four.
Like what he's no.
I like the dialogue. I like
if
the dialogue.
Has, if you haven't gotten to the turn, you're less than 10 missions.
That's fine.
Story.
But he can like what he's played so far of it.
I shouldn't say story. I like the dialogue.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah. There is no main story really before that though. The main story is like what you what was said to you in the first 10 minutes of the game. Being like, I wonder. Oh, I still wonder. Oh, let's wonder about what could be going on. Oh, I wonder.
War never changes.
It's true. Yeah, and maybe that's why I haven't gone back, because Fallout doesn't really change that much either.
Except, let's be honest, I want to be clear. If it hadn't changed, we'd be playing it. Did you not play New Vegas?
Not a lot.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I mean, because in my opinion, by far the biggest problems with Fallout 4 are that it's not a Fallout game.
I know all of your stuff is like system stuff. My stuff is more world.
It's like everything that makes Fallout Fallout.
Like,
do you know what the difference between Fallout 3 and like Oblivion and stuff is? Guns and morality. If you take out the morality, the only difference is guns. Like, and then they even simplified the RPG elements. You can't roleplay your character in 4. Like, there are real problems with 4. It's a fun game. Don't
I'm
get
just
me wrong,
I was but... just saying why I'm not playing it currently.
Fair.
I want to go back and play some Metal Gear.
I've been thinking about doing
yeah.
that. I don't know if I want to do the time sync again, but
I could jump back in where I was, I think, and just like run around the world and get comfortable with it again.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I more meant I don't know if I have the patience to like start doing all the FOB stuff again and like the upgrades that take real life time and that kind of stuff.
I think I saw something today that said that Metal Gear Online, like the beta for it for the PC, went up and then like went down within hours. Like they took it back down. They're like, nope, not ready yet.
Has anyone heard anything really about Metal
no,
Gear
but
Online?
I should play it.
I've heard that it's not very good.
I should at least try it.
You should.
Just to see what the hell it is.
I'm sure that you'll love it.
I didn't really like the other MGOs.
I know, I was being sarcastic.
Yeah. My New Year's resolution is to just, like, hate on everything now. So
just be more like Henry?
That's what we all want to be.
Mighty No. 9 comes out in February.
So, speaking of hating on everything, does anyone else feel like that game has not shaped up to be what was, like, originally promised? Like, there's nothing Mega Man-like about that game.
The
character design and the creator. That game is a 3D platformer, like, with an interesting system.
You shoot things, and then you get weapons from the bosses.
It is not Mega Man-like, except for the concept.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't play like... That game was pitched as the spiritual successor to Mega Man, not as a game that has the power-up scheme in common with Kirby. Which, for the record, Mega Man's not the only game that does copying enemies' powers. So,
sure.
And arguably, Kirby does it better. Because you don't have ammo.
Yeah.
There's more powers, and you don't have to do it to bosses, and... Anyways, I love Mega Man. Mega Man was my favorite Capcom franchise.
I heard, was it Azure Striker Gunvolt? Was like a 3DS game that came out last year that's very much like Mega Man.
Cool.
Kind of in that vein.
I also played that one roguelike that I think Max recommended to me. It's a rogue...
20XX?
Yeah.
No,
was that you?
That was me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Credit where credit's due.
Thank you.
That was fun for an hour or so, but it's a little too simple. But that is a great
Mega cool.
Man clone.
Yeah.
That was enjoyable.
Yeah.
What is Stone and who played it?
Hearthstone.
Oh
my God. Would you just write stuff out?
I thought you played something new
that neither of us have heard
about.
I thought that was going to be like a cool open world,
like
nature game. Like Wild. I thought that was like Wild. Oh my God. Tom, you got to stop being so lazy.
I heard this week's Tavern Brawl is very hard.
I haven't played Hearthstone in like two months.
Okay.
I only play like straight up Hearthstone. Right. Like not even Tavern Brawl.
That seems silly to me. Don't you want the free weekly pack? Like I only did one Tavern Brawl a week when I did play, but
I always did it. Tavern Brawl bothers me. That's the one you have to like build your own deck, right? And stuff like
not
that.
Not necessarily.
No, actually. In most of them, you have a pre-made deck. And also...
And it's like goofy
more.
Rules.
Also, like, yeah, I was going to say, you know what you do have to build your own deck in? Every other mode of Hearthstone.
Hearthstone.
Like, that is a game where you build a deck,
No, isn't there a mode where you literally get 30, like...
Oh, that's the arena, and it's the best part about Hearthstone.
And also, that entire mode is based around building the best deck possible.
I'm playing this wrong.
Yeah. We're going to just find out Tom, like, prefers to play with the just awful pre-made decks.
No, I'd make my own decks. I did figure out
that all
different...
my cards are nines.
I
what's going on here? It's like I can't play anything for like 8 turns.
Good lord. All right.
Seven if I have
really
the coin.
There was other packs too, and I was like, oh, these cards are better.
Oh, Tom. You're losing that much, huh? It's been this long till you got a pack see that there were different kinds of packs.
Yeah. No. I've been getting one every 2 days almost.
Oh. And so you didn't notice that there were 4 kinds of packs lined up every time you purchased one.
Nah.
If you take the Max Hamilton route, if you spend like $50, you can have this happen a lot.
Max
missed the window too. If you'd done it during the Christmas season, you could have gotten 50 packs for $50. Now it's back to 100 packs for $50. The other way around.
50 packs for $100.
Yes, thank you.
Max literally did that, I assure you, and he's spent hundreds of dollars on this game. You almost can't beat him in this game. It's ridiculous.
Well, to be clear, like, you can absolutely
beat
him. I destroy him. He just has the only, like, unbalanced cards in the game in every one of his decks. But that's okay. I hope he listens to this episode and hears me and then comes and yells at me.
Yeah, Max sucks.
Max, I love you.
I love you.
I love hating on you.
Max, are you peeking right now?
Max, are you watching right now?
Can you see us?
All right, guys.
Can you hear me?
One more game here, and then we got to hit the road. Who wants to choose between the two that are left?
Oh, Rayman Legends is good. That's all I got to say. It's fun.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay, well, cool. Then we'll let you still talk about Shovel Knight.
I got that Shovel Knight amiibo.
An amiibo for Shovel
Knight? Yeah, it's the first third-party amiibo, which
that's
is kind of awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's super awesome.
Yeah, and they... So, one weird little fact about that. None of the amiibos can be scanned through their packaging because there's like a little layer of metallic thing, whatever's blocking that.
Oh, right,
because
it's not like a barcode. It's RF.
It's
right?
RF.
Yeah.
So all the amiibos have something blocking that RF signal. The creators of Shovel Knight actually asked Nintendo if they wouldn't do that with Shovel Knight. So they didn't. So you can actually use Shovel Knight without taking it out of the packaging.
I love not corporations.
Yep.
Well, also you can probably use Shovel Knight without purchasing the product, but that's a shame.
Yeah. So
don't do that, guys. Support them. Or if you're going to do that, buy like 3 copies of Shovel Knight and Plague Knight.
So when you use that amiibo, you can actually play 2-player on the Wii U and 3DS versions.
Of
Shovel Knight.
That is weird.
It is weird.
Here's what I really need to know. Can you play Shovel Knight in Mario Maker?
I don't know yet. I haven't tried it. Maybe. Eventually.
I want to know because that'd be amazing.
They just added Daisy. Probably.
They just added Daisy. We've all been asking for her. Thank God they added Daisy.
No, they added the mod Daisy to Mario Maker.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry, you already said that it was the first third party, so I don't
believe
you.
Yeah. So...
I would accept Weird Daisy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So... That
I know. What would it be?
Daisy? Oh no!
I want to see weird versions of all the characters. Although the number one I want to see is Weird Toad.
Weird.
How strange would Weird Toad look?
Very, very hot.
I know.
I can't.
I'm like unsettled thinking about what it could look like.
Weird Wario, but that would just be Waluigi.
Also, Waluigi's the worst.
Waluigi's the best.
No, he's the worst.
He is the best. Next,
he's the only Mario character that has no justification.
Next to Ludwig.
I'm going to be your second in tennis. That's why he exists.
Yep.
He needed a partner for Wario in Mario Tennis.
Shovel Knight is still a really awesome game.
Oh my God,
I'm planning on actually finishing it this time.
Although I will say Plague Knight.
Have you tried Plague Knight?
Yeah, I've played like the first. I've beaten
Shovel
Knight.
Seems like he takes a lot of...
I don't
a
like
lot
how,
of skill for movement.
I don't think that that's the right way to put it.
Gotcha.
I'd say he's...
Did you watch that speed run?
I'd say he's deliberately obtuse.
Yeah.
I'd say he's deliberately hard to play.
Yep.
Not like, oh, his, you know, you have to kind of learn his moveset and this and that. It's more like, how could we make there be a really annoying part of like everything he does?
Yeah.
I vastly prefer Shovel Knight.
Yeah. I'm interested to try playing as Plague Knight. Do you have to finish the game to actually play as Plague Knight? Okay.
I didn't see
like the character select.
You can't ask me something like that because I beat Shovel Knight before it came out.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say.
But yeah, that game is super, super fun. Go check it out. There's there's physical versions of it now.
Yeah, seriously, you guys, if you haven't played Shovel Knight, it's the best two-dimensional platformer in like a decade.
Yep.
It's so good, and the music is amazing, and it's really cute and hilarious. Yep. And looks amazing. The art direction is fantastic.
It's basically everything that Henry said about Undertale during our Game of the Year stuff, but are you saying Undertale's better than Shovel Knight?
Wow. No, I'm saying that they have very little in common.
Okay, but I mean, that kind of charm and old school flavor and good music.
I mean, Shovel Knight is much more like a proper, like...
It is a Mega Man game where you don't shoot unless you have like power-ups. Actually, I'd say it's more like a Castlevania game.
I'd say it's a cross between the two because they absolutely do like disappearing platforms and stuff that's very Mega Man-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Shovel Knight's great. Play it if you like 2D platformers.
Yeah.
Do try to refrain from comparing it to Undertale.
I'm going to compare it.
Also, John,
Undertale,
haven't you still not started Undertale?
Yeah, I was telling Henry.
It's just like Undertale, that game I've never played.
Is it coming to consoles?
Actually, I looked into that. I don't think it is.
Oh.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah.
You have to be at least this cool to play Undertale.
Yep. I'm going to watch it online.
So last week...
Honestly, you could probably run Undertale on your tablet, dude. It's a...
Oh, really?
It's like an 8/16-bit like.
I'm surprised
Atari
there's not like a
game.
Web-based version of it, like an in-browser
version. They want people to pay for it.
Oh, I've been playing a lot of Cookie Clicker, too.
Good for you.
Yes.
I've been playing Trimps nonstop.
I might get Undertale if I can get it on my tablet.
Is it an iPad
or a Windows tablet?
Do you have
iPad?
Then no.
No, you can't.
Yet.
You need a proper device, not a dumb device.
Here, just give me yours and I'll
not
run
a,
out the battery.
Not a big smartphone
Undertale.
That can't make phone calls.
My smartphone can't do that sometimes, too.
Sorry, what were you saying, John?
I forgot. I have forgotten.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, Shovel Knight's great.
Yeah.
And
play
you're
going to
be
Knight.
Playing Undertale next week, which will be fun.
Yep.
That's
what I was going to say.
This rides us out on a really low-key ending to the show this week
everyone
because
is
John
energy.
Forgot his train of thought.
No,
to blame it all on John.
What I was going to say was Max said he was going to play Undertale this week so he could talk about it. I said I was also going to play Undertale this week. And I told Henry earlier I was glad Max wasn't here this week because I haven't played Undertale.
Hey, Max delivers.
Yep, homework for everyone. Play Undertale. Homework for Tom, buy a computer and play Undertale.
Nah, play Diablo.
On your computer.
Join the dark side on the Harbinger server.
All right, that pretty much does it for this week. This has been procedurally generated. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. Please be sure to check us out on Audioboom and iTunes and leave a rating or review. You can also check us out on Twitter @PG_show. Thanks, and as always, game on.